Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. You can find Kevin Wooster's blog at sdpb.org/Wooster. Most of the time you can find him out at a river, lake, or stream. And maybe we'll talk a little bit about that. But we've also got to talk about some state politics. Kevin, thanks for coming back and joining us on the show.
Great to be back, as always. I have to say this, and I apologize for it, but what's Buddy Signer do?
Fish, you need to know, and you're going to love him, because he gathers fishing stories, records them, and puts them in an online archive called fishstories.org.
So I listened to most of that. Is he with tourism, or did he used to be with tourism?
I know the answer to, and I have temporarily forgotten. He is from Pierre. But I don't believe he is any longer with tourism. At least this project is not directly affiliated with any state funding that I'm aware of.
I might try to get down there, although I believe my daughter's coming tonight. So there's few things that take precedence over fishing and fish stories with me, but she would be one of them.
There will be opportunities. There will be opportunities for you to meet up with Buddy, but the two of you need to know each other.
Well, and we may have met. You know, guy gets old, gets spacey, who knows. I saw him on a stream somewhere.
Yeah, he has a good ear for a story. That is that is for sure. All right, so we'll let you save some fish stories for Buddy, and let's talk a little bit about politics, because you've got some pretty good political stories as well. And let's begin with Billy Sutton, because we kind of started this topic last week about some of the internal polling numbers that they had released and the significance of that, and maybe a little bit of the response from the Nome campaign. And now you have a new blog post online really talking about a lot of things about Sutton and his appeal as a populist gubernatorial candidate, and quite a lot of other South Dakota political players in here, too.
You can be frank about it. A couple of major digressions in the story where I kind of wandered off track and got into a Frank Farrar and commuting a death sentence for Thomas Whitehawk and some of that kind of stuff, which I do. And, you know, people have said to me, you know, maybe you should stop doing so much of that wandering around and just stick with the point.
You should ignore them.
I'm going to try to. I have ignored them well so far. One guy said to me, dude, he said, you just got to write shorter. I'm not reading your stuff. And I said, that's okay. It may be that I'm not writing for you anymore.
I like the digressions, because they're not really digressions to me. They're a deeper level of insight, and you can see how those all sort of tie together. So,
well, you do if you get back into a Raleigh Samp, who's a longtime political advisor and a old friend of Janklow's, and he's been in a lot of campaigns, and he knows a lot about polling. And and so we talked about the old Janklow style and the populism there, and the Raleigh considers himself a Republican, but more of a populist, and certainly the populist of energy that has always existed in South Dakota from the time South Dakota was a territory, is part of a territory, is that it is still there. And certainly Billy Sutton's going to have to rely on that as one of the things he's going to have to rely on if he wants to make this a close race and maybe even win.
I don't know that a comparison between Bill Janklow and Billy Sutton is as obvious to everyone. So let's make, how does Mr. Samp and you know, as you lay out in your blog, what are some of those connections that you see where that comparison is valid?
Well, Bill Janklow, you take him as a guy who could be a very conservative Republican in the way he thought and the way he operated, and that meant budget cuts if they were necessary, and that meant cutting personnel if it was necessary, and it meant trying to control taxes, but it also meant spending money if he thought it was necessary. Bill Janklow was somebody who didn't hate government, unlike a lot of people that call themselves conservatives today. In fact, believed in government's ability to do things for people and even for itself, but he wanted it to be done efficiently, and he wanted it to be done, you know, in a way that made sense. And I would say that was one of his real strengths as a politician and as a political leader and a government leader. And if you can tie into that, Billy Sutton obviously needs crossover voters. Bill Janklow got a lot of crossover voters when he ran during his popular years from Democrats and heavy support from independents. So Billy Sutton would be coming from a different direction, but would be reaching out kind of to that same philosophy and those same urges in a lot of South Dakotans, which is to go beyond party, to go beyond a set political agenda, and try and do something that you believe in that might be the right thing to do.
And you also argue or point out a few facts that some of, you know, his attempts, Sutton's attempts to remind people that we need to get beyond party affiliation, some of the strikes against him might come from people in his own party or people who support him because he's a Democrat and don't, maybe that doesn't help him. How so?
Well, that's the interesting bit of ballet that he, you know, that people have to perform, that the interesting maneuvers that you have to make within this political system is are you able to keep the people that love your party, that the real hardcore base, because Billy would sort of alienate some a little bit with his, you know, positions on abortion, with his position on Second Amendment, which would be a little bit more conservative, maybe a lot more conservative than some of those people in the base. But that also appeals to those people in the middle and a little bit towards the right side. And how do you hold on to the people you've got? And also, how do you prevent the people you've got, some of the most vocal of them, from speaking for you in forums and in letters to the editor and leaving the impression that perhaps you're every bit as liberal or progressive, whatever you wanted on certain issues, as they are? But also, he's a guy that's very far from hate speech. He's very far from mean-spirited speech. He's very careful about criticizing people directly or using pejoratives against people. And that isn't always the case on the hardliners on either side of the political spectrum. And I think Raleigh Samp believes that if the hardliners on the left really go at it and attack the Republicans and as being a, you know, the party and peer as being a corrupt party, then they're going to turn people off in that. And that will include what I talked about in the blog. Some people that voted for Marty Jackley didn't like the way the primary ended with Kristi Noem and maybe open to voting for Billy Sutton.
And what about this idea that, you know, we're in a little bit of a television campaign lull compared to what's coming? And if we learned anything from the primary campaign, we might not know exactly what Noem is planning to hit Sutton with until the 11th hour as part of a strategy. Where do you think she's going to come out swinging?
Well, you're certainly going to hear the words Hillary Clinton, I would think, and I've already heard it in the blog from Justin Brazell, who's, you know, her very able, smart, and well-experienced and well-traveled campaign manager, and not afraid to do the tough stuff. And Kristi Noem is not afraid of a political fistfight by any means. And she certainly went after Marty Jackley hard and in ways that some Jackley people still considered were unfair. And the question is, how do you go after Billy Sutton? Such a nice guy. People on both sides agree with him. You can go to Peer and talk to people on both sides. It's hard to find anybody who doesn't believe he's a genuinely good guy and a person that loves this state and wants to make it better. So how do you attack him? Well, you can attack him by tying him to Hillary Clinton, who's not particularly popular in South Dakota, and probably to a lesser extent to Barack Obama through Obamacare, which the last I looked wasn't wildly popular even yet in South Dakota. So.
And what about this notion of him calling you and giving you like, what does he have to say about that, about those tactics that surely he must know are coming?
Well, at this point, he's just saying I think so. Everybody's tired of that. I think everybody doesn't want that. And he also says, I think that's Washington, D.C. style, and I don't think that's South Dakota style. I think that's Billy's response. That's what he would prefer, to not engage in one of these back and forths that can get so nasty and so personal, because I think it is really hard for him to get that way, to get personal like that. He doesn't want to get that way. My question in the blog is, can he survive if it gets rough and not strike back, you know, with something stronger than that?
Right.
That wouldn't be his inclination. And I think Noem would tell him, Raleigh Noem, former Custer State Park. Whenever I see Raleigh, I want to go to Noem and But Raleigh Samp would have told him, you got to be really careful about that, because his image is of this really straight shooter, good guy cowboy that has this compelling life story about coming back from this horrible accident that changed everything he did, and how he looks back on that and says, I wouldn't change a thing because of who I am and where I have come and what I've learned. So, you know, you don't want to change that image very much, because it's an honest, compelling image.
Right. And it's genuine. It's, yeah, like, it's honest. Yeah. Same thing. All right. So it's a season of Sturgis right now. And you've been out there for some of the political campaigning that has happened at Buffalo Chip in the past. And that's the first time you've ever been booed. Tell us a little bit about that experience. Set the stage, please.
Well, I was at 2008 primary, an amazing primary in South Dakota. The Clintons were here between Hillary, Chelsea, and Bill 30 sometimes. Barack Obama was here, five or six times, you know. So the guy like me out in South Dakota that doesn't get to do that very much gets to sit down with Barack Obama, gets to interview Hillary, gets to cover Bill at Fort Thompson, and Hillary at Kyle, and Bill at Pine Ridge, and Obama here in town. I mean, so it's amazing, and one of the things they had to do was ride along with some other reporters in the Straight Talk Express, the John McCain bus, and I love John McCain, have for a long, long time, and ride to most of the way to Sturgis for the rally, and then we all kind of got together we rode separately from the national media in the more the local state media group, but then we all kind of got together and walked into the rally to the stage area, which is there's a two-story kind of facade, like an old west town that's got two stories on it, that you walk in under, and there was this tremendous boo and raining down of, you know, pejoratives and catcalls, and liars, tell the truth, liars, you know, you guys suck, and all this kind of stuff. And there was one of the national guys was going, what's this all about? What's this all about? Who are they yelling at? And he said, they're yelling at us. I said, they hate us. And I've never had an experience like that in my life. Living in South Dakota, that tends to be not the way we react to people. And it was because, you know, they were obviously very conservative folks. I would guess that the Trump support at the rally in a typical year is 90%. I don't know. I don't know if you'd do a survey, but certainly it's high. And it was a different experience for me, because I sat in there. I've been harangued a little bit by phone. I've been called out in person in the newsroom. I've been stopped in grocery store checkout lines or coming out of mass and had somebody say, you know, that wasn't really whatever story was. But I've never just been screamed at like that. And I've been thinking about that experience, because you see it now so often on TV at Trump rallies where reporters are being screamed at like that.
Do you think that that goes away? Do you think that continues to get worse? Is this the new normal?
Well, you have a thing where you on stage you get John Thune, who was very uncomfortable at the rally, definitely wanted to be in Myrtle or someplace else. John McCain, who loved being on stage at the rally. Cindy McCain, who seemed to love it. And those people treat reporters with respect. They might argue with us. They might say we didn't do a great job on a story or whatever, but that they would treat you with respect. So you've got that tampering down of the emotions. And instead, you've got Donald Trump, who fires them up, who I think likes to have people scream liars and losers and enemy of the people and scum and whatever else. People get spit on now. And you know, your concern is, where is that headed? How long is it before a reporter gets injured? And can't imagine that happening in South Dakota. It doesn't seem like it's something that would happen here, but it certainly reminded me of that experience, and I thought, boy, I'm glad I don't have to go through that every time I cover a Trump rally.
There, Senator Mike Grounds was in Sioux Falls for a town hall meeting, and I went to that. Yeah. And one of the questions was, what do you feel about the attack on a free press? And there was applause in the crowd for the questions, and Senator Rounds said very similar things to what you're saying now, which is, this is not a problem that we have. The vast majority of journalists we deal with are fair and reasonable, is what he said, and it's pretty rare for his staff to have to reach out to a reporter and after a story and say, yeah, you know, you didn't do things right there. And then he ended it with the phrase, we're trying. I thought that was sort of a lot was summed up in those two words at the end as he was answering his question, which was, you know, we're trying to get that, continue that
Mike
message.
Mike Rounds would do the same thing that John and other people would do. I mean, and you know, Bill Janklow used to shut off. He didn't talk to us individually, reporters at the Argus, for about a year, and I think he did the same to Kello. But he would never try to stop you from showing up at a public news conference in the Capitol, as Trump has apparently suggested maybe and has tried to do a couple of times, I think.
You can read Kevin Wooster's blog on our website, sdpb.org/Wooster. Kevin, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to talk to you on the show.
My pleasure.